You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A group of scientists out of Otago University are opening a discussion on the merits of de-extinction, a process which involves cloning or genetically reconstructing species which have died out. However, Professor Phil Seddon and his team are dismissing calls for the resurrection of animals like the moa or woolly mammoth, saying the scientific focus needs to be on more recent departures. I spoke with Professor Seddon earlier this morning and began by asking him whether there was anything to de-extinction beyond a Jurassic Park-fueled motivation.
Oh, I think there certainly is scientific merit to the idea. It's more than one breakthrough. I think it's really a whole lot of things are starting to come together that makes something possible that hasn't been possible to consider in the past. That is the idea of kind of resurrecting a version of a lost species.
Right, and why is that so attractive? I mean, what would we gain from resurrecting?
That's a really good question. I mean, just because you can do something doesn't mean you necessarily should. You could imagine a whole lot of reasons why someone would want to see some iconic extinct species back again. But my take on it really is, if you're going to do this, you should be doing it for some kind of conservation benefit. You're talking about kind of reversing the effects of extinction. So one of the justifiable reasons really for this whole venture is to restore lost functions in ecosystems. So when things go extinct in an ecosystem, they create gaps. And you have too many gaps or the wrong kind of gaps, and you risk a kind of an environmental collapse. So the idea would be, if you could fill those gaps, if you could restore lost functions, what you would do is you'd improve the health of that ecosystem.
And are there significant gaps in where we currently stand? I mean, you know, obviously animals are still going extinct even today. But I mean, where are the most significant gaps that need to be filled right now, do you think?
I think you could look at a lot of systems and you say, we've lost species out of those systems. What did those species do? And was that an important function? In some way, kind of every species you lose is a problem, because you lose that kind of the complexity that holds an ecosystem together. But some species have more important roles than others. For example, say in the New Zealand system, we've lost a lot of our bigger bird species that used to disperse the larger seeds. And while we've got a lot of introduced species, none of those are doing exactly the same job. We lost moa, and they did a special kind of browsing of native vegetation. You could say, well, we've got deer and things like that. But in fact, they don't do that same job either. So you could argue that there are functions or there are processes that would be really good to restore in order to improve the health of the system.
Right. So with the moa, I mean, are you able to speculate? I mean, what would happen if we actually brought an animal like that, which has been gone for, you know, so long?
Yeah.
If it was just reintroduced, I mean, how would that work?
There's a couple of kind of footnotes to that. The first is, if it's been gone that long, we probably couldn't get exactly a moa back again. It would be some version of it. And whether that's possible or not, I really don't know. The second part is, you've got to ask the question, you're releasing these things out there, you're trying to do a reintroduction. What you want is a kind of a viable, free-ranging population of your moa substitute. There's a lot of questions around that. We still don't have the highest success rates for species that haven't even gone extinct yet when we're trying to create new populations. So something that's been gone for a long time, you've got to ask the question, is the habitat still there for that species? Quite possibly that, you know, the gaps that were available for moa-like animals might have closed up within the New Zealand system. You need to kind of understand that. The other thing is, you need to kind of anticipate how that animal's going to be functioning within that system. Maybe the system's changed so much. We've got a lot of invasive species. We've got a lot of introduced plants and animals. Maybe that system has changed in kind of fundamental ways. I think the challenge, Mac, is when you say, okay, we want to bring something back that's been gone for hundreds and hundreds or even thousands of years, then there are so many more risks and uncertainties involved with that.
Right. And, I mean, obviously, I mean, we've got a lot of new technology, which is heading in the direction where we might be able to genetically reproduce things and clone things, even, you know, based off the DNA of stuff which is long gone. Do you think that presents any problems other than, you know, bringing back an animal that may, you know, not belong in our society? I mean, do you have any broader concerns about that?
I think it raises a number of big concerns, and one of the big one, a couple of big ones being thrown up there is that the first is we're not winning the biodiversity battle at the moment. So as much as we're not doing enough. We're still losing species, and our goals have started to become, you know, can we halt the rate of decline? If you start to bring other things back and they require resources to be managed, to be monitored, whatever, unless there's more money in the system, then something's going to fall off the end. So people have criticized de-extinction for saying, look, we're not preventing extinctions, let's focus on that in the first place. The other really interesting aspect is they talk about a moral hazard. So this is the idea that some group takes a risk, but the cost of that risk applies to someone else. So the moral hazard that's invoked for de-extinction is the idea maybe you change the public perception that extinction is no longer forever. That's kind of the bedrock of conservation. We've got it, we can't lose stuff, because once you lose it, you can't bring it back. So if you change that perception, rightly or wrongly, in the public mind, you may undermine support for ongoing conservation.
What role do you think scientists, though, in these fields can offer, you know, conserving the species that are currently alive?
I think the technology that's been developed that sort of comes under this heading of de-extinction could be applied to very recent extinctions, or even things that we call kind of functional extinction. So the species right on the brink of extinction, you could be using these same techniques to kind of pull them back from the brink, which with probably much less risk or uncertainty, because we know a lot about the biology. We know for species that are around today, even if they're about to disappear, we know the habitat probably still exists. We understand their biology. An example is northern white rhino. There are only three individuals left in the world. There's one male and there's two related females who can't breed anymore. So that species is functionally extinct. It's about to disappear. It just hasn't realized it yet. What you could do is you could use this kind of cloning and genetic manipulation techniques to actually restore or resurrect that population before we actually lose it. I think that could be one of the really interesting areas of application for de-extinction.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.